You have arrived at your destination.
I have it my way. There will be a switch in every driveway.
Two switches in every driveway. That's a ticket you can vote for.
Send the missus to the store to buy more Nintendo Online time. But the right. Send her to the digital store.
Let me mark that down. I have my opener clip now. So. Hello and welcome to the Video Struck Destruct Direct. I completely screwed up this intro, so I'm abandoning the joke immediately. Patrick Haas, how you guys doing?
Wonderful. Doing good.
Excellent. There was a Nintendo Direct this week, and we're going to talk about that this week on the Video Destruct Podcast, because it's time for the Video Destruct Podcast, in which we talk about video games and things that we've played, and it's a news episode. Next week, we'll be getting back to our old format, where we talk about like older games and stuff like that, and that should be a lot of fun, because we got stuff that we want to talk about for sure. You know, old games. Might do a Chrono Cross, because there was a bit of a Chrono Cross announcement today.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that later.
Yeah. We'll have like 1 week of talking about older stuff, and then it's like Elden Ring and Horizon both come out.
Well, yeah. We usually circle back around onto old stuff because of new stuff that comes out. So when Elden Ring comes out, we might just go ahead and talk about Dark Souls.
Yeah, the first couple months of the year loaded.
Or original Demon Souls. I don't think we ever talked about that, Haas. Have we ever talked about Demon Souls?
No. And me and Patrick both played the remake. So
yes.
That'd be a fun one.
Yeah, let's talk about the old Demon Souls. Maybe we'll do that. So, as of right now, what have you guys been playing?
I got something. I know you were very excited to talk about Windjammer, so I'll let you go first.
Okay.
No, actually, before that, I was going to talk about what I bought.
Okay.
I messaged this to Patrick. I meant to message it to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I bought a Retroid Pocket 2 Plus that will be here soon.
Hmm. Cool.
Are you aware of what that is?
Yes, I am aware of what the Retroid Pocket is. You showed me this for a while ago.
No, this is a newer one. This is more powerful thing. It's $99. It takes them like a month to ship it to you, which I'm fine with. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so
it's very tiny. It's very tiny.
Yeah, but it's also its dual analog stick, and it's powerful enough to run like PS2 and GameCube. It doesn't do most Xbox stuff that well, but mm-hmm. I mean, for you to get something that can effectively emulate about 15,000 games,
mm-hmm.
that's really cool. It's also apparently like super spot on emulation capable, even down to the point where you can like double or triple resolution on a lot of like Game Boy games and things like that to make them look better. And yeah, it uses like all your favorite emulation software. So if you're like a RetroArch person or a MAME person or whatever, it takes all of those emulators, has a lot of them built into it. It just doesn't have ROMs built in. So you basically just take it, drop your ROMs onto an SD card, throw it in that thing and go. So yeah, I've been hyped about this thing for a little while. They kept opening and closing pre-orders because it kept selling out. So yeah, basically you go on their site and you buy it, and then about 30 days later, it's going to show up. I bought the spice orange one because I like the spice orange GameCube. They have one that's in that indigo.
Yeah. Spice orange.
Well, I mean, you got to, and they also have them like in indigo and Super Famicom colors, straight black, you know, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I don't have a review for this thing yet. You can look it up on YouTube. There's a bunch of people that already have it that have nothing but like glowing things to say about it. But yeah, I've been hunting for one of these retro emulation handheld devices for a while. And most of the ones I wanted were like, oh, it'd be nice if I could fool around with, like, let's say play, you know, Tony Hawk on the PS2 or something like that. Most of the devices that were capable of running PS2 stuff were like $200. And everybody just kept saying, wait for this, wait for this, wait for this. And then it came out and it truly is a step up. Just be careful. If you're going to buy one, don't buy a Retroid Pocket 2. You want the 2 Plus, because the 2 Plus has more RAM and it's more capable and a better screen and all that stuff. And they're the same price. But yeah, so you order it and you use PayPal. I wouldn't use your credit card because it's a weird Chinese site. And they will send you the most insane PayPal receipt back that you've ever seen. That just totally looks like somebody stole your money.
just lines and lines of code.
Tune back in 35 days and we'll find out what the hell Haas actually bought.
Yeah, right. Just all kinds of weird calligraphy and shit is what comes back to you. But apparently, in a month, I'll have a handheld. So,
there
yeah.
we go. See. Supposedly.
Yeah, I basically sold a rare DS game and used the proceeds to buy this.
Nice.
So,
well, cool. Well, yeah, if the Warriors win tonight, then maybe I can afford it.
You fucking degenerate gambler. All right, so speaking of sporting events, Brandon,
yes.
Windjammers 2, it's out.
Yes.
We've played it.
We have.
What do you think of it?
It's awesome. I very much enjoy it. It is funny that they kind of like, I will say it is funny they put in like an arcade mode and like didn't bother with the story again. Because like the arcade mode in Windjammers has no story, and they just decided, whatever. You're here to play Windjammers.
There's a few still images that give you like weird, like Tekken style endings.
Yeah. There's like nothing there. It's very like it's like less than the first Street Fighter 2 endings and everything. So
we ain't come here to school. We came here to jam wind.
We came here to jam wind and jamming wind. It does very well. Love the new spike technique. I think that's awesome. I love the weird techno dance arena that randomly assigns your score.
Yes.
That's a crazy level. The new power-up bar is fun. Love it. So I think it's fantastic. They just took what the game was, and then they just added stuff on top to make it cool. So
yeah, so there's like a spike technique that they've added for people that are familiar with the Windjammers formula. All the rest of the stuff works the way that it does. You know, it's got the sand court where the 5-point zone gets bigger or smaller depending on if you have the advantage or not. Mm-hmm. The standard like slightly curl the stick like a quarter circle like you're playing Street Fighter to do the curve shots that will kind of pitter patter off the exterior gates. All that stuff is there, lobs. But this one has two additional functions, really, if you break it down, other than a super. But the super just allows you to do your charged up finisher move, your super fast, crazy toss anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So the super is what you expect. And that's, it builds up like a hyper meter slash super meter from the later Street Fighter 2 games. So you kind of know what you're getting there. The spike is as would apply. If you have someone who's laying back, you can crowd the net and then just slam the disc down and get a 2-pointer, which I think is cool, especially because a lot of the people I've been playing online are definitely the people who stay closer to the net.
Yeah,
because they want more opportunity to, be able to roll and things like that. Most people I've been playing online have been playing the speed characters, not power characters.
Yep.
Let me tell you, my S. Miller does pretty good against a lot of those guys, who's a little bit more strength, but still has enough speed that he's not, super slow. Like his roll is not the only way to go get a disc.
Yeah.
Because in this one, I feel like more often than not, if you are rolling towards a disc and you are going to slightly over roll, the game chooses to let that disc go by more often than I feel like the old one did.
Right.
Would you agree? I feel like the hitbox for that is smaller.
Yeah, it's likely a little bit smaller. I don't know if I was as good as you at Windjammers, so maybe that's the reason I didn't notice that as much.
As a man who owns Windjammers in an arcade.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
let me tell you, I know me some Windjammers.
It is possible they might have shrunk that box a little bit just to get some get a little extra scoring, get the ramp up the excitement a little bit, ramp up the scoring. I think that kind of makes sense. So yeah.
And the so I did the spike, and the other move, what am I blanking on? There's the hyper, there's the toss.
I don't know.
Oh, the lob? Oh, shit, sorry. No, it's the forearm shutter. So it's kind of like, it works like a forearm shiver would in wrestling.
Yes.
So if you're crowding the net and one comes at you, you just hit this button, and instead of catching it, you immediately just deflect it. So you got to be fairly close to the net for this to work. But basically, you just dump it back. It doesn't fall as fast as the spike does, but it just drops the disc back over the net. Which in very hectic, you know, late game matches can be a very effective means to win. I think the changes are really good. I like the stupid new mini game with the dog. I like the new rendition of that. I think is good. What do you think of the disc ejecting machine thing?
That's cool. I love the training mode disc.
I suck at that. Thing.
Do you? I thought it was pretty fun. It gets a little crazy at the end when it starts literally throwing opposite ends of the goal. But I like that. I'm a little weirded out that there's no tutorial mode at all for anybody. Like, I know that, you know, Windjammers is not a hard game by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, just to ingratiate new players in, I think a tutorial is always good to have, or at least like a training mode, which I guess is what the little launcher is about. But yeah, you know, just teach people a little bit about how the game goes and like what a lob is and when to use it, blah, blah, blah. No spectator mode, which is a bit weird considering this should be like standard for anything you want to have competition. So, but
I do think their net code is pretty good. It was pretty rough launch week, because a lot of people, especially because it was on Game Pass, a lot of people were hitting the servers. It definitely kind of evened out after that.
Yeah, well, surprise, surprise, the Switch load times for online is real boggy. Shocker there. I don't know if you would have guessed that the Switch online play would be swampy a little bit.
Well, here's the thing that I would say is that it's not free there.
Yeah.
So that's going to hurt you.
Yeah. I mean, it's free if you got if you have the what do you call it? The Nintendo online thing. So
no, I mean the game.
The game.
Yeah, no, the game's not free. No.
Yeah, but the game's free on Xbox and PC if you have Game Pass.
Yeah.
So like that's where the users can be. I have no problem getting into a game. I think what you're running into is just pure user base.
Yeah.
There's just not enough people.
Yeah.
Which sucks, but Nintendo, I would assume, has millions of people that paid to play Nintendo's online services.
Yeah.
But they're playing Fortnite or they're playing the suite of Nintendo games like Mario Kart and Splatoon.
And that's what I use it for.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I use it for. So.
But there you go. I think Windjammers is very good. That is something that I would like to. I've got my arcade stick set up in the lab.
Yeah.
We need to get some footage of us playing that fucking game.
Yeah.
Because I like it a lot. And Sam played it with me once and said no. She's like, no.
No.
But yeah.
Too fast, too intense.
Well, it just, it's like hopping into a fighting game where, like, I know how to do a jump kick and this guy knows all the moves.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's got to be really unfun for her to play that against me because she's never played it before.
Right.
So.
She can play dive kick. There's only one move in dive kick.
Well, there's two. There's dive and kick.
There's dive and kick. Yeah. So.
And then if you hit dive and kick at the same time, you do that weird special.
Yeah.
So there's actually three moves. So you were,
That's true. Well, I mean, I wouldn't call a dive a move, but it's fine. Go on.
You also walk back and forth. So you want to get really technical.
I mean,
No, you can't walk back and forth. There's no.
You just dive.
Just dive and kick.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, if you do dive and kick at the same time, that skips you backwards, right? So then it's dive, kick, dive, something like that.
A long time.
Yeah, that game is cool. I like game a lot.
Was there going to be a dive kick too, or did I?
There was sort of at one point, and then I think they just kind of decided, no, because that's Iron Galaxy. I think they took some other pain gigs, and their wrestling battle royale game comes out in 2 weeks.
I think it got delayed, didn't it?
Yeah, but like the open beta starts in like a week.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, like that thing is soon.
Is it a battle royale or a battle royale, like? Wrestling battle royale or a video game battle royale?
It's both.
Okay. Well, It's both, technically.
Like, gotcha.
There are, you can do moves, which I think are really cool, yeah. Where you'll like bounce off of a building as if it were ropes, and then you can like jump off of said building onto guys down below. Like,
nice. Dude,
it's got ideas. Like, it's really cool.
Nice. That sounds like a blast. Maybe we'll play that in the future. Sure. Patrick, do you have anything you want to talk about? Played some...
Yeah. Talking about doing weird moves.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I've been playing some Sifu, which I was actually not planning on picking up, and then I just did it anyway.
Self-control.
That game is really good and also has some like weird problems. I texted Haas about it the other day. It feels like a Haas game. It feels like it really wants to be Sekiro.
Kind of. Right.
But it's like an arcade beat-em-up style version of that. There's only 5 levels.
Interesting.
And I've only made it to the end of the second level, so I haven't gotten past that. But so the whole like the story, the setup of the game is pretty cool. It's very like classic kung fu movie. Like these 5 guys show up at your house and kill your dad, and then you train to kill them. So each level is you're fighting your way to the boss, and the boss is one of the 5 guys.
Nice.
But the like cool sort of like mechanic that sort of separates it is you start the game out and you're 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you die, your age goes up. So you have this like talisman that can revive you. So basically, if you die, your age goes up. And then if that same, and then a little counter goes up too. So it starts out at 1.
Mm-hmm.
So you die, you turn 21. And then if you die again, you'll turn 23. And then if you die again, you'll be 26. So like it sort of like compounds.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you defeat certain enemies that can make your counter go down. But basically, it keeps doing that until you get into your 70s, and then if you die in your 70s, then the talisman breaks and the game ends, and you have to restart.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, that game has some really cool mechanics. It has like sort of the it. I want it to feel like the parrying mechanic from Sekiro, but it's slightly different. So I keep like I have to unlearn that.
Yeah.
And that's sort of gotten me in trouble because I think that the game actually wants me to dodge more often than not. But But the art style is amazing. I would look at it. It's going to be one of them that I talk about at the end of the year for best art style. It looks amazing.
Nice.
And like as you age, you basically age into like the different like stereo like archetypes of ninja,
mm-hmm.
like or of kung fu movies. So like you start out like you're 20 or like the young guy, and then like by the end, if you're in your 70s, you have like the long gray hair and the beard,
yeah,
and everything. It is really good. I would encourage everybody to give it a shot if you are into those sort of like arcade beat-em-ups at all,
yeah.
Because it's super satisfying.
Yeah, but nice.
I've
definitely heard that game kind of takes an interesting path to that age process thing where like, yeah, like everybody's like, yeah, I got through stage 1 and I was fine. And then stage 2, that boss fucked me up. And then I was 70 years old when I started stage 3. So the cool thing is it doesn't punish you to say like, hey, you have to go back to stage 1. No, you can roll back to it. A save in time, which I think is cool, and restart 2 and then get better at that boss. So by the time you start level 3, maybe you're 25, maybe you're 30.
Yeah. So basically that's what I've been doing is I can beat the first level now with almost without dying. I can get through it at age 23. So like when I first played it, I was 34, and then you start level 2 at 34. And yeah, there was no way that I was going to get through it. So I've gone back now. So, yeah. Yeah, so that's a cool mechanic. The only thing that I don't like about that is it encourages you to do that. You have to do that. You're not going to beat the game in one run. Like, mm-hmm. you're just not going to.
Right.
So it encourages you to replay the same level over and over and over again, which is fun. Like, the combat is fun enough, and you can unlock these, like, permanent upgrades. Like, you can unlock new moves. You get XP as you play. So you can unlock new moves for one run, or if you unlock it 5 times, it unlocks it forever.
Oh, nice.
So... you know, I kind of do these XP runs where I'm like, all right, I'm not actually worried about doing anything. I'm just trying to unlock this thing 5 times on this run so that it's unlocked forever.
Right. Just to
but then
it.
There's, yeah, so then I have it. Because there's a few that I don't know how you would beat the game without. Like,
right.
A couple, like, there's like this dash move where you can run at somebody and then sweep their legs so that they fall down.
Yeah.
And that's like essential.
Yeah.
But then there's these other types of unlocks that you find at these little shrines, and based on, so you can only unlock them if you're a certain age when you get to them. So like you have to be 25, 40, or 60. You have to be under that age to unlock it.
Yeah.
And then there's three sets. So there's those. There's one that you have to have a high enough score, so you have to have been playing the game well enough by the time you get to that point to unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one where you can use XP instead of using XP on your permanent upgrades. The problem with going back to the levels and playing them again to get a better age is that when you restart that level, it erases all of those upgrades that you got on your previous run.
Oh.
So, like, you have to do the run better and then also continue to get those upgrades, and then you can carry them on to the next one. So it's like, if you had a really good run where you got all this stuff, you have to, you know, like, it encourages you to do it again, but there's, like, this risk reward of, like, well, if I go, like, I did really well, you know, I was 24, but I bet I can do it at 21, but, like, will I be able to keep my combo going long enough to have, get the weapon upgrade that I got at this point when I get back to it?
Right.
Yeah. So that's sort of the thing. Cool. And then I'm running into there's a couple, like, reability issues that I'm having, where I don't know if it's just me not being good at the game.
Right.
But it feels like some of the moves that get sent at you are kind of random. Like, there's not, like, one move looks exactly like the other move and you don't know which one it's going to be.
Right. Yeah.
So that's been kind of frustrating. But like I said, I haven't put a whole bunch of time into it. I am having fun with it, so I'm definitely going to finish it. But
sweet. Yeah. Definitely we'll come back to that if we feel the need to, for sure. It did look interesting. I did want to check that one out too.
Super cool. And you guys liked, I've heard people comparing it to Streets of Rage 4.
Oh, okay. I love
it. It's like a 3D arcade beat 'em up. Like, I would definitely, it feels like you guys would be into it. I would
try. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Awesome.
I don't know if from what I've seen, I agree with that, but I will be the judge of that, good sir. But yeah,
I can't imagine you won't like it, Huss. I just can't.
I totally think that that's going to be something that I like. It's just that, you know, I was kind of talking to you about this the other day, and as the, you know, it was only reinforced by the Nintendo Direct, is that, like, I kind of feel like I'm drowning in games right now. Like, especially because, like, you know, me and a buddy we're done with Halo 3, and we're like two missions into Halo 3 ODST now. He'd never played Halo before.
Oh, running through them.
So we're running through all those and, you know, shit like that. Like, I'm trying to not stay up super late playing video games anymore because I'm an adult now and I don't sleep as well as I used to. So, you know, the usual. But yeah, like, so I kind of feel like a little bit overwhelmed with the games that I have right now, and, you know, Elden Ring's almost here. It's why, like, I looked at Dying Light and said, I'll play you in the summer when you're fixed.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I've played 25 hours of it.
There you go.
Yeah. You're also, like, 15 years younger than me.
Yeah, so. Dying Light 2, man, it is... If I were, like, writing a review for it, I would be very conflicted. Because, like, it has the best movement in a 3D game that I've ever played.
I think Dying Light 1 had some of the best movement.
It takes what Dying Light 1 had and it just elevates it to a different level. Like, running around in that world is just fun, especially as you start getting unlocks, because some the unlocks are, like, dumb. Like, they don't make any sense, really. Like, I don't know why. So you can unlock these towers and stuff, and you assign them to different factions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give them to the survivors, they, like, add things to make it easier to navigate, but the things they add, I'm like there's trampolines now all over the town.
Oh yeah, you know, just set down trampolines all over town.
Yeah, so
well, it makes sense because so many, like, free runners were in town before the apocalypse hit,
right?
Yeah, because there now, was like an Olympics coming.
But now those guys are all dead. So you're the only one who's actually going and doing anything. So, like, I guess they're just doing it as, like, hey, thanks for bringing the water back.
Yeah.
But I won't talk about Dying Light 2. If you played the first Dying Light, it's just better than that. Like, you know, the combat's better, the movement's better, all that stuff. But the bugs that I've gotten is the problem. So, like, also the story is a zombie soap opera that everyone should experience. It's so much just the drama. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the line, "Aiden, you're alive." Like, that just keeps happening. But yeah, but the bugs are kind of fun. So I had I've had two major bugs. One was, after I unlocked the second major area, I fast traveled back to the first area to do cleanup, like, explore the rest of the little, like, question marks and stuff.
Right.
And there is no way to fast travel back. And there's no way to walk back. So I had to just go to a tall building and, like, fly to a lake and then swim across the lake to get back. Like, like something that the game definitely did not want me to do.
Yeah.
But the funny one, I've had a bunch of funny things with just like weird glitches. I haven't had anything that broke the game, but there's a point where this like main character dies and he's like talking to me. He's like, come close. He's like on the ground. And my character leans down and then his character model immediately just T-poses like out of frame. So my guy's just staring at the ground with his hands like cupped around nothing. And the guy's like, tell my son I was proud of him. I never got to tell him that. And my guy's son. Like, oh, okay.
Tell my son I've been sucked into cyberpunk.
Yeah.
2077.
No. Yeah, it's great. And then like the second thing, I go back to do this other major story mission where it's like, you got to save this building from the bad guys. And I go in there. And there's just swords floating. There's no actual enemies.
Yeah.
And the swords just all start attacking me.
Yeah. That's the floating sword room. You didn't know about that one? I saw that. Yeah.
It was great.
For sure.
It's fantastic. And then you defeat the boss, and then suddenly, yeah, she's just T-posing in front of you saying how you'll never defeat her.
Of course. There we go.
But yeah, a bunch of weird glitches. But Dying Light 2, I still would probably recommend it. It's really good, but the bugs are weird.
Yeah.
By the summer, I bet that game's going to be pretty dope.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're supporting it for 5 years. So
after it's all
well, they did. They supported the last one for like 6 years.
There was DLC last year.
I know.
Did Cyberpunk ever get fixed?
Not yet.
Not yet.
The next gen patch for The Witcher is rumored to be like next month, and then the Cyberpunk one is supposed to be like a month or two after that.
Oof.
You know something else crazy about Dying Light?
Yeah.
Game's coming to Switch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Is that going to be one of those cloud games?
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Because Dying Light 1 just came out, and it's a native app.
I cannot picture a universe where that game runs on Switch.
Yeah.
The first one apparently runs really well on Switch.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, there are some fucking mystics out there that have figured out how to make games, like, you know, fucking getting Doom Eternal and shit like that to run on the Switch. So I don't know.
Yeah. And speaking of the Switch, what a transition. Brilliant. There was a Nintendo Direct today, guys, and we all watched it, I assume. Yeah, yesterday. Last week, actually, now that we, if we're going to be technical about when people are listening to this. But yes, last week there was a Nintendo Direct. We thought we'd just talk about that on this episode because, you know, it was a pretty good direct because there was a lot of games announced.
I was pretty excited about it. I have a list here of sort of just the announcements. If you want, I can run through them. We can kind of talk about the one we want to.
Yeah, I've got them all right here, too.
Let's just go ahead and knock out all the games that are 10 years or older off the list.
Well, okay, now I got to look through everything that's like, well, no, because then because Chrono Cross, I want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think that looks like shit.
I mean, okay.
That game looks rough, but I'm going to play it. Let's talk about Chrono Cross later because I want to have an actual conversation.
Okay. Oh, what about, Mother 1 and 2. Yeah, okay. Let's not talk about that, I guess. So
they've already re-released those on the Wii U 6 years ago. What else do you fucking want?
But now I can play it on my Switch.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? I had a Fisher-Price toy that they called the Wii U gamepad that I was playing that thing on 7 years ago.
Did they release the guide to Mother 2 as a PDF for free online back then? No, they did not. But they did this time. So there you go.
Wow.
All right, so here, I got it kind of sort of, it's, I got it sort of in order of how they were in the actual thing. So Fire Emblem Three Houses is getting the Warriors treatment. So that's kind of interesting. I will not play that game.
No, I will not. I will not be playing I don't like the Warriors style games. They're button mashy.
You cannot fucking begin to describe the emotions that I went through of like, holy shit, a new Fire Emblem game.
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit, it's a Warriors game.
So it is a retelling of that story in a different universe. And I saw somebody tweeted, it was just like, I love how all of these Nintendo version of Warriors games are just retellings of stories if people just fought a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No Man's Sky coming to Switch.
No Man's Sky. Yep.
Sure.
Anybody gonna mess with that?
No, I own that on like multiple platforms. So.
Yeah, I got on everything else. So, but hey, you know, cool.
It makes sense that they finally they figured out a way to make that run on the Switch because they had to do all that work to make that work with the PlayStation VR a couple of years ago to make that game way lighter to process. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
Yeah, no,
I bet. And that video looked good. It looked like it runs fine.
It did. Yeah, it looked fine. And then the biggest announcement of the day was Mario Strikers is coming back, fucking baby. I am so excited about Mario Strikers. Haas tried to belittle me yesterday. I'm not having any of it. That's the best Mario sports game. It's been more than 10 years. I thought it was dead. That trailer is metal as shit. It looks so good.
Mario Strikers is such a bizarre thing because it looks like, I always thought Mario Strikers, because it's a different company that does it and everything, like, Next Level Games does that one, I think?
Camelot.
Is it not? I thought it was Next Level Games.
I thought it was always Camelot that
did. No, I don't think Camelot does Strikers. Camelot does all the other
ones. I think it's Next Level Games that does that. It always looks like something that was supposed to be something else entirely, and then they got a Nintendo license on it.
It is Next Level Games. No, it's like they were like, what if we made a wrestling game? That'd be awesome. Yeah. And then Nintendo was like, we can't do that. Can you put a soccer ball in it?
Right. Put a soccer ball in it and give it Nintendo characters. It'll be great. So,
if you remade WWF Rage in the Cage for the Sega CD, but it was Mario?
It looks good. Huss, I'm going to make you play that game with me.
No.
The main reason to play Mario Strikers is just for Daisy's voice actors, because she, like, kills that role. Like, I don't know if you ever heard Daisy's isolated voices when all those leaks came out with Nintendo, like all the audio leaks.
Oh yeah,
and she's insane. Like, she just gets so into it. It's hilarious.
Well, everyone's so angry in that game.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Bizarre. I'm gonna skip Chrono Cross. We'll come back to it. Hey, Wii Sports is getting a sequel.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nintendo Switch Sports, which ensures that the Nintendo Switch will eventually outsell the PlayStation 2.
That was bizarre to me that it took that long for that to happen for the Switch.
Like, you're not taking into consideration that they made that Wii Sports package thing. Like, yeah. That
Wii Sports Resort also.
But I'm saying, like, it hadn't been that long since they had trotted a Wii Sports back out. So I think they were just trying to find that key time to where, like, hey, Wii Sports is back, everybody.
Possibly. But I just feel like a Nintendo Switch Sports game, that feels like something you would launch with your console. But
no, they had one two switch, man. Yeah. I like how we both made the same fucking joke.
Don't worry, I was going to mention 1-2 Switch and how lame
that was.
Don't you
fucking belittle that game.
I will absolutely belittle that game. What a fucking waste.
Next
what
time
a
I
waste.
See you in person, I'm going to draw. Like, we are going to fucking duel.
What a waste. I can't.
Anyway, I'm going to buy that game. Like, we will. That'll be a fun party game to have.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Wii Sports is great. It's fantastic. So.
And then we talked about Mother, but Earthbound and Earthbound Beginnings. That's awesome for the people who want it. I probably actually won't go back and play it again, but
I'll play it.
I'm just giving Haas a hard time.
I've actually never played Mother 1, so I would like to.
Yeah, I didn't play Mother 1 either. So maybe I'll do that.
Yeah,
it doesn't have half the personality of 2, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, it still is interesting to see like the headspace where that is, you know.
And maybe I'm as negative on this as I am right now that like. I mean, they could have said Mother 3's coming.
I know. They could have said Mother 3's coming.
They could have said that.
Because I haven't played Mother 3 either, so I would love to play. And I need to.
Do you want to know why they said they didn't say it's coming?
Because they don't love us.
Yeah, it's not coming.
Because they hate Earthbound fans.
Well, and here's the thing. I have the ability to play Mother 3 now because I have a Mother 3 Japanese cartridge and a fan translation thing, and I have one of those Retron 5 systems.
Yeah.
So I can sideload the fan translation onto that cart.
Yeah. There's definitely ways to play it. It's just, it hurts that Nintendo has never officially released a way to play it.
Yeah, why won't you let me give you money?
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's like, you know, I know you got burned by Earthbound when you tried to release it in America all those years ago, but like, it gained a fandom, guys. There's money to be had. Just put it out there.
Like, geez. Well, and that's the thing is that like the day that they announced Earthbound. If you remember, we were doing the podcast at the time. I ran out and I fucking slammed that thing onto my Wii U. Even though I own the cartridge, even though I had no need for it. Yeah. I was just like, fuck yeah, I'm going to do this. Maybe they'll fucking do Mother 3. And here we are 8 years later. And that's why I have the attitude I do right now.
Yeah.
Because fuck them. They're never going to fucking do it.
No, they're not. Right. Speaking of absolutely mind-boggling decisions, Portal Collection coming to Switch.
Yeah.
Oh, like... The week that the Steam Deck will be out, you can pay $40 to play Portal.
Portal?
Don't understand that one.
don't get that one at all.
Portal and Portal 2 come to Switch. I guess if you haven't played it and you only have a Nintendo console, then fantastic. That's great for you. You can play one of the greatest games of all time.
But... I guess, but isn't that game like free or $2 like anywhere else? I don't know.
I guess the only situation is like I've never played it and I only have a Switch.
Yeah,
like,
that must be it. That's the only way, I guess. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If you don't have a PC at all, right? Yeah. If you're one of those people that just doesn't have a computer in their house.
It's true.
Is it Live
those
Alive?
Those 360 versions run like shit.
Yeah.
This game that I've heard is actually amazing. Live Alive.
It's Live Alive.
And Live Alive. There you go.
I'm very excited about this. Actually.
Yeah, so I'm excited to play it too, just because I've heard amazing things about it.
I've only ever heard of this game. Never was able to. I'm sure there's thousands of imports and emulators that have had this thing about.
It's got the 3D. Or the 2D, the HD 2D treatment also. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. It looks exactly like the Triangle Strategy and Octopath guys.
How have they not done that? I need a Chrono Trigger remake that looks...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if they ever tried, they would overdo it a little bit, and you'd get that Secret of Mana look that I hated.
Yeah.
Well, like, I just do Octopath Traveler, but just do Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, I just feel like with something as prestigious as Chrono Trigger, they'd overdo it and you wouldn't get what you want.
Klonoa, they're bringing Klonoa and Klonoa 2 to the Switch, which I'm excited about. I haven't played those games since.
Yeah, Klonoa's a fun game.
Since I was a wee tot, and it comes out on my birthday, so it's just for me.
Klonoa's, those are fun games.
And here's something that I'll inject right here, because there's a lot of other games from kind of this era and a little bit later, but like kind of that 360 PS3 generation that you hear announced during this presentation and recently for the Switch. If we're in an age now where the Switch can't run 95% of stuff that's multi-platform, sure, bring us cool versions of old shit, I guess. This is how we coast the last 3 years of this system for third-party software.
I don't know what you're talking about. There are people, they are just begging for Star Wars The Force Unleashed, the first one.
The Wii, no, and hang on, the Wii one.
I know.
It's not even a port of the 360 game. It's not even a port of the 360 game. It's the Wii one.
But it has enhanced motion controls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Enhanced.
I'm going to run through the rest of the smaller ones before I get to the bigger one. We got the first two Front Mission games are both getting remakes, and they look real good.
Yep. I've never played the Front Missions, but I might.
I love those games.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited to finally get around to that. And then
more strategy games like Advance Wars.
Advance Wars has a release date April 8th, so it's really soon.
Yeah. I'm super stoked about that one because I've never really played the Advance Wars.
100%.
I'm stoked for that. And then Metroid Dread, the update. Yeah. I am very excited for the people.
Dread Mode.
For who are going to use that. Like, Dread Mode's great. That sounds like a nightmare. But I'm actually more excited that Rookie Mode exists just for, like, accessibility reasons.
Yeah.
See what Update 2 is? They clarified that later.
Oh, no, I did not.
Mm. Update 2 is a boss rush mode.
Ooh, oh, yes. I did actually see that.
That sounds awesome.
Well, and the fact that they're calling these Update 1 and Update 2 makes me hope that, like, hey, man, what if you did like an update 3 that I paid you $20 for and you gave me another 5 hours of game?
Yeah.
I could see them adding biomes for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool. That'd be dope. I'd be down with it.
I want more of that game. It was our game of the year. Stamp it.
More Dread. Dread's a great game. I love it. Still need to finish that game off. Need to do that. But
and then, the last three, well, we'll say they showed off the Splatoon Salmon Run stuff. I never got the Salmon Run stuff anyway.
Am I the only one? Can I just say this? Am I the only one that thinks that should be called Salmon Row?
Caviar type deal? Is
that what you're saying? It should have been called Salmon Row. I'm just saying. And then
they also confirmed Splatoon is this summer.
I think Splatoon sucks.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a bit harsh.
No, hang on. Hang on. Yeah. I don't like playing it. I love looking at it.
Yeah.
It's officially set in a post-apocalyptic world.
I've never said this before, but I love the fact that their style and their music and all that stuff is basically... I'm curious. Are people from Smilebit that used to make Jet Set Radio working on that game?
Right? It does feel that way.
I'm genuinely curious. Is there some kind of connection between Jet Set Radio and this? Because these people get it in the same way that this is a treatise on multiplayer deathmatch shooters, in the same way that Jet Set Radio was a treatise on Tony Hawk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I definitely feel the vibes. I just wish I liked playing that game. I just don't.
Yeah,
I really like.
I have fun with Splatoon. I did like that they were like going into a D-Day like situation on this trailer. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. And then a bunch of H.P. Lovecraft monsters show up, and I'm like, all right,
okay,
let's go.
I see, and a lot of people say like the D-Day kind of thing. For me, it was just like, hey, fucking 12-year-old kids, you like the Fortnite, right? It's kind of like that.
Well, yeah, it had like darker setting and everything. Like the sun was like, it was like dusk and everything. So,
but they always do that for the major events.
Yeah.
For like Fortnite, you know, like remember that's like fair. When season 2 started, that's when the eclipse happened and Travis Scott had a concert.
That's
and I think even in the game, people got trampled to death.
Yeah. And then, oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus. And then Galactus showed up or something. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, God. That did happen.
Yeah.
What's more important is that we got to see Kirby inhale an entire car. I am so excited for that game now.
Yeah.
There's car Kirby. There's cone Kirby. There's vending machine Kirby.
It's Kirby Odyssey, right? Like, that's really what it is. It's Kirby Odyssey.
It looks so good.
It still has copy abilities,
and you can finally upgrade the copy ability. Like, that's probably as close as we're going to get to Kirby and the Crystal Stars combining.
I'm glad you talked over Haas at that point, because he mentioned Fleshlight Kirby, and I don't know why I called attention to it, but there we go. I did.
I'm holding out for it. So.
Yeah. Light bulb Kirby, though?
I like Cone Kirby. He was fun.
Yeah, Cone Kirby looks great. No, that game looks so cute, and I'm going to play the shit out of it.
I'm a bit off-put by Car Kirby, because he looks like he's in pain.
It just looks
painful. And I'm just like, oh. I don't like that idea of, like, stretching the mouth. It feels like when King Kong, like, breaks the jaw of the T-Rex. Like, that's what it feels like to me. It's not fun.
You can't kill Kirby. He's an actual guy.
It's true. I didn't think you could fill Kirby up. I thought he just had a black hole in his being. Like, I thought he just sucked up universes.
Yeah, he's choosing to leave the bottom wheels out so that he can drive around. He could just swallow that whole car.
Yeah. And then the closer, right? Is that the next one?
I got two more.
That's
Xenoblade Chronicles 3 was the closer.
Yeah, which is... They always seem to open or close on a Xenoblade whenever they do one of these.
Which, again, I'm excited for. I will play it, but that might be a game that I'm like, man, I wish I would have had time to play that this year, because it's going to be like 200 hours.
Yeah, but that. So here's my question: is that like, is it kind of too soon for just another Xenoblade? Because I understand that the Xenoblade Chronicles Remaster was just the Wii one again, which in a way better form. Don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but like. When Xenoblade Chronicles 1 came out, I fucking loved it. When Xenoblade Chronicles X came out, I fucking loved it. Mm-hmm. When Xenoblade Chronicles 2 came out, I was like, all right, this is getting a little long in the tooth here. it's been 2013 was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, we've gotten one Final Fantasy game since we've gotten fucking 5 of these things.
I mean, it's been 5 years since Xenoblade Chronicles 2 came out. So, like, I think that's...
Yeah.
Plenty of time.
I don't know. Maybe it's that the fucking logo is exactly the same, and what they showed in that trailer, I was like, dude, I've done this. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting or wanting, but like, I mean,
shiny tech blades and pretty anime people. That's kind of the whole.
I like those games. So, like I said, I think that's going to be one that comes out. And when we're talking about it at the end of the year, I'm like, man, I just wish I had time for it.
That one's a total blind spot for me. I've never played a Xenoblade game at all. So,
well, you can kind of start wherever you want. Like, they do have a little bit of a crossover, but they're 90% standalone.
Okay, I'll give one of them a shot maybe.
And then I saved Mario Kart for last because I'm a Mario Kart freak, and they're adding 48 remakes of classic tracks to Mario Kart 8 over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
I will have a Mario tattoo in the next 3 months. I literally just finished planning getting a Mario tattoo. So,
nice.
Or a Mario Kart tattoo. So, yeah, I'm very, very excited about this. And the first one comes out in March. Like, yeah. I was nationally ranked in Mario Kart 8 on Wii U for a small period of time. So
nice. Yeah.
I'm stoked.
Yeah, I shockingly love Mario Kart from its inception. I played all of them. I've never played 8, oddly enough. I just never got it, and I need to do that because I do love me some Mario Kart.
$25 for all of them, and it's included in Nintendo Online if you have the expansion pack. Like, if they keep adding all these DLC packs to that expansion pack, like, it's going to eventually be a really great value.
Was this in place of a Mario Kart 9 announcement? I guess
because I imagine
people were kind of expecting it.
makes sense financially. I mean, that game just keeps selling like hand over fist.
It sold nearly 40 million copies.
Yeah, it's insane. It's one of the highest.
There's no reason to make another one.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep... It's
Matt,
like...
They're only going to be like 72 tracks away from having every single Mario Kart. So just give me a second set and then just call it Mario Kart Ultimate.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you think games like this like even need a sequel? Like, do you think they'll ever need to make a GTA 6?
No, make one. No, well, you make
they announced
one
that they
Mario
are officially
Kart.
Kind of
like yeah, they did. They did officially announce that.
Yeah.
But like, I feel that you should get one Smash Brothers and one Mario Kart per platform. Mm-hmm. And if Nintendo feels like they want to make more shit for it, do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Mario Kart 8 is mechanically perfect. And if you just keep adding tracks to, I will give you $25 every year until the end of time.
They kind of fucked up. When they made Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, because they fixed the few problems that they'd had, the battle mode issue, mm-hmm. being on the regular tracks and all that other kind of stuff, and kind of smoothed over some of the control issues to where that game's just kind of perfect.
Yeah,
to the point where, like, I don't want to be the guy that has to make the next Mario Kart game, especially once there's 48 fucking more tracks than this one.
No, now, yeah, if you make another one now, like, whenever Mario Kart 9 comes out, you're going to have... I mean, mechanically, it's going to have to be very similar to this because this is perfect. And then also, you're going to have 50 less tracks. Right.
Yeah, but think about it this way. If they had 16 tracks for the GP that were all original, in like 16 returning tracks, I think they're fine. But the problem is, how do you change the formula enough? It's like the last time they sincerely tried to change the formula was Double Dash, and that game fucking sucks.
You're always hating on Double Dash.
It's the worst one.
It is the worst one, but it's better than the Game Boy one. But
yeah,
wait, I like the Super Circuit. That one's great.
No, it's fine.
You clearly never played it with link cables.
I had a lot of fun with.
You're right. I did not.
I had a lot of fun with Double Dash, but yeah.
No, Double Dash, yeah, Double Dash is great, and I have rose-colored nostalgia glasses for it. But yeah, when you go back and play any of the other Mario Karts now, after playing 8, it's like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
That Wii one is also real bad.
Yeah, no, Mario Kart 8, if it isn't add tracks to it, I think what they could do after, honestly, the next thing, if I was going to continue the franchise, I would drop the Mario Kart, call it Nintendo Kart or Super Smash Kart or whatever the hell,
and then just... And just put everybody
expand
in.
It. Yeah, expand it all into
a put in Marth in a cart.
Yeah, just 60 Marths.
There's just 70 dudes from Fire Emblem with swords.
It would be fun to see Mr. Game & Watch. I would love to see that.
All right.
I would love to see a Game & Watch.
I want Duck and Hunt.
Yeah. Duck and Hunt, yeah.
Yeah, we're back to fucking Double Dash again.
Yeah, oddly enough, the dog's name is Duck. Anyway.
And then the other thing, we skipped over it because we want to talk about it later, was Chrono Cross.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I just wanted to mention it a little bit because, you know, I had a lot of fun with that game when it came out. And Hoss kind of hated it, I think. Did you hate that game?
Here's the thing. I think Chrono Cross is a great game. I don't think it's a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. I just think that whatever kind of strange frame interpolation that they're doing to those graphics looks terrible.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's likely true. I guess I didn't really pay much attention to how it looked on the trailer. I was just kind of excited.
Square has been carving this fucking path of awful remasters for like the last 6 years, ever since they discovered what a fucking mobile phone was. And oh my god, like with the exception of the ones that they want to charge you $50 for, like that Final Fantasy 12 remaster, I think it's pretty good,
right.
But any of that stuff, especially the PlayStation 1 era stuff that uses their pre-rendered backgrounds, that machine learning stuff that I think they're using on those background assets to up-res those makes those backgrounds look like dog shit.
Yeah.
I hate the way that they remaster their PS1 games, and they need to be stopped. Period.
They need to be stopped. Something needs to happen. Something must be done.
I mean, I tried to play that because I like Final Fantasy VIII a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that I'm in the minority. I like 8 more than 7. Boo-hoo. Fuck you.
Right.
But I tried to play 8 because they made that fairly modern remaster of that game. And about 5 hours into it, my eyes just hurt. That game looks like shit. And then, and I'm like, well, maybe it's just me. No, I booted up a fucking emulator of the PC version of that game from, you know, 1999 that looks and runs fine.
Yeah. I think I'm glad that this Chrono Cross remake exists just because it's going to open it up to a lot more people. Because yeah. nobody's going back and playing it on PS1. And so the last time I tried to play it was directly after beating Chrono Trigger for the first time on the DS.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is such a good port of that game.
Game's so good. My buddy Jeff, you know Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
Was like, hey, you should play Chrono Cross. And so I downloaded it on my Vita.
His name's pronounced GIF. Sorry. I didn't mean to. I don't know him. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I apologize.
But anyway, he's like, play Chrono Cross. So I downloaded it on my Vita and started playing it. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I can't do it. And so I just stopped. But if we're all going to play it together, then that'll give me a reason to actually do it.
Yeah, yeah. But there we go. I think that was all of the Nintendo. I think they had a baseball game announced in there somewhere, but I don't really
care. MLB The Show. We knew it was coming to Switch. They showed it. Interesting that it's going to have cross progression. So you can actually carry your progress from PlayStation and Switch and Xbox all back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of neat. And you can play online with PlayStation users on Switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's cool. But yeah, no, not for me. I won't touch it.
Yeah, I won't touch it either. I don't really play baseball games. I like to watch baseball. I don't like to play the video game and play the actual game.
But overall, I would say very, very cool Direct. But a bunch of weird stuff that I definitely didn't see coming. Super, super excited for Mario Strikers and for all the new Mario Kart stuff. And then, I mean,
I'm glad they have games, but I think the next 3 years of that platform outside of I hope we're going to get another traditional 3D Mario game.
I think we will.
And I'm hoping that Zelda's not a fucking last second drop like they always are at the end of the generation and also on the next thing.
Well, just with them saying last week, the Switch is in the middle of its life cycle. I think they have 5 more years.
No, I think by them saying it's in the middle of their life cycle is that it has 2 more years and then it will have the tail after that.
I think that they are going to reload on this like they normally do not.
Yeah.
I hope they don't.
I think that's what
and I'm saying this as somebody who likes the Switch. I'm not here being like a boo-hoo the Switch, but we're only getting farther away. You know, look at all these third-party developers that are like, I don't know, here's a PS1 game that they're kind of just shoving onto this thing.
Right.
We're farther away from that generation where people could work magic to get that interoperability. Yeah. So you're only going to start getting like indie 2D games, which you get now, and there's a, you know, fucking, there's a million of them already, so does the Switch really need more? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to get the Nintendo first-party stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is going to start feeling like the Wii U. Because all those third parties, you're not going to get a Ubisoft game because it's not going to fit on there. You're not going to get an EA game. You know, you'll get this MLB game for 1 or 2 years and then they'll move the fuck on. Mm-hmm. And all I'm saying is that I have really liked that for the first time since the GameCube, it wasn't either no third party support or here's your cute Nintendo version of, oh, you can, it's like you're throwing the football, you know, like. It felt like you got real careful, well-crafted third-party support during this generation because the thing was selling so well and it was so cool.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's any reason to believe it's going to slow down. And just the games themselves are selling so incredibly well on this thing.
Yeah.
But there's no reason for them to slow it down. It's also, it's the first console to ever reach 100 million sold without a Call of Duty or Madden. Like, it doesn't need that stuff, and it's getting third-party support in different, like, I mean, you say no Ubisoft game, but like Mario and Rabbids is made by Ubisoft. Like, it's gonna get those, and it's gonna have the indies, and it's gonna have Nintendo, and I think that that's enough.
I
don't think it's enough for 5 years.
I think it's enough
I think in somewhere in there you're gonna get the new Nintendo Switch, whatever, you know, like they did with the 3DS.
I mean,
long as it's fully backwards compatible and they just do that as like a mid console drop, fine.
Yeah, I never would have thought it would have gotten 100 million buys anyway, this console. So
I mean, it's outsold the Wii.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. That's a bit nuts. And granted, it took it, like, I think the Wii got most of its sales out in like its first year.
Three. Yeah. Believe it or not, the Wii was still sort of hard to get for about its first 2.5 years.
That's fair. Yeah, but
it was still sort of hard to get.
Yeah, but it sold very well because it had that very normie appeal. A lot of normies picked that up. It wasn't just, you know. Yeah,
one of the things the Switch has going is that a lot of households have multiple Switches.
Yeah. You know?
You didn't exactly buy a bunch of Wiis, but you can buy. You know, a Switch for every kid.
Yeah, the different versions and stuff like that helped out too. So, you know, it's
if I have it my way, there will be a Switch in every driveway.
Ah, two Switches in every driveway. That's a ticket you can vote for.
Send the missus to the store to buy more Nintendo Online time.
But
the right. Center digital store.
Let me mark that down. I have my opener clip now. So. There we go.
But yeah, like, so I'm not, you know, and I think I get, depending on whatever my soup du jour is of the week, right? I'm sure once I get my Steam Deck and I'm only playing on that thing, it'll be like, he just sucks Valve's dick. You know, that's the feedback I get half the time. You know, it's... I like whatever's the coolest thing right now, and the Switch was the coolest thing to me 3 years ago.
Right,
and Dread was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But once I finished Dread, we finished Mario 3D World. I haven't touched that thing again since. And
yeah.
I'm sorry, it's not going to be Splatoon. It's not going to be you know, it'll be Advance Wars. All right, cool. Yeah, I'll buy Advance Wars in a month. Fine.
Kirby's
not until the fall, right?
No, that's March. That's next month, buddy.
That's March, yeah.
That's next fucking month? I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe the first half of this year is awesome. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. No, it's fair, because I get my use out of the Switch because, you know, I have the Nintendo Direct and or the Nintendo Online, and so I like to just go on and play a SNES game every now and then. I enjoy doing that, and I have the SNES controller for it. So, you know, it's just how Game Pass is kind of for you guys. You know, it's like, oh, a new game that free. You know what I mean? So I get that. If you're not using it for that, you know, purpose, you know, it's kind of in elongated times before like something really eye catching pops in. You know,
I also think that, I guess, just for my closing thought on this whole Switch debate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that something that's interesting, the Switch, where it came out, like in the middle of the PS4 and the Xbox One life cycle,
mm-hmm.
I think that there's not a whole bunch of households where the Switch is the only thing they play games on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it has that going for it. Like, you probably already had a PS4 and then you got a Switch, or you had an Xbox and then you got a Switch.
Right.
So, yeah. Like, well, I 1000% agree with you. I don't, like, you and me are the only people I know that have an Xbox and a PlayStation this generation. Because you really just need one or the other. You make your choice. But almost everybody that I know that's really into games has one of the new consoles or one of the advanced consoles from last generation and a Switch.
Yeah.
Would you, I'm wondering, would you count this as like, would you count this as three Zelda games on one console?
What do you mean?
Breath of the Wild 2, 1 and 2. And then you have...
I'm not counting Hyrule Warriors.
Link's Awakening. Because it's not... I know it's a remake, but it's kind of a new game because it's a new format in which it played and everything.
I guess. I mean, it's a more substantial thing than like when they did Wind Waker for the Wii U.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah. But, you know, I consider that like an A-B game. Like, you know, Breath of the Wild is a AAA game. And
yes.
You know, Link's Awakening was their fun project.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah,
that would be my argument on why I think this thing can have a longer tail, is that I don't think very many people are like, man, if there's nothing coming out for the Switch, then I'm just not playing video games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, because they'll have other things that they can get on, and they likely have that as just a supplementary type thing to play the Nintendo hit, like Metroid Dread.
They play
and Nintendo's, stuff like that.
They play indies, and they play, you know, whatever other little thing.
Exactly, yeah. And they'll use that for their Nintendo stuff. But that, guys, was what our... That was our Nintendo Direct coverage. What'd you think? Was it terrible? No, it was perfect. No one's ever covered it this way before. It was the best thing you've ever listened to, because this is the Video Struck Podcast. Patrick, thank you for being on. Appreciate it, as always. You're basically going to be a regular at this point, I think. I think that's like, I don't know.
Seems that way.
It seems to be that way. Yeah, Patrick, you got Twitters, you got stuffs, right?
I do, yeah. You can follow me on Twitter, BFFPatrick1. Haven't posted about Wordle a lot. I know people are getting concerned. I am still playing it. I just stopped sharing every time because I'm a jackass.
I just got into Wordle. I had no idea what it was. People were talking about it. It got sold for $1 million, which seems small. But I looked at it and it's lingo. It's just lingo from the freaking video, from the game show network. I was like, this is lingo. I was so angry anyway, because I love lingo. Lingo was fantastic.
So Wordle, those of you who don't know, He made it for his girlfriend because she wanted a fun word game to play, and he made $1 million.
Yeah, it's a great little fun game. I've no problem with it whatsoever. I just thought it was funny because, like, I was literally talking about word games with a friend when he was talking about Wordle. I mentioned lingo, and then I went to play Wordle for the first time. I'm like, this is lingo. So anyway,
Have you guys played Loodle?
No, I've not played Loodle.
All right. Well, so Loodle is Gary Whitta and another guy made a different version where all of the words are like explicit.
Mm.
And my brain is not broken enough to figure that one out.
To
ever get the words. But it had like 270,000 active users yesterday.
Well, there you go. Boom. Maybe he'll get $1 million. So, but this has been the Video Destruct podcast. You can check us out on Facebook. You can check us out on videodestruct.com. Check us out on destinationcomics.com/DNN. And you can also
follow me on Twitter at @Hoss_buddy. That's HOSS_BUDDY. I talk about video games and comic books and comic book video games and wrestling and Forbidden Doors.
Yeah, there we go. And that's Forbidden Doors, baby. They're opening. They're all opening.
Keith Lee,
Jay White. We're in it. We're in it now. But that's it for the Video Destruct podcast. We're out of time. We gotta go.
Bye-bye.
Bye.